Our text this afternoon is we will be looking at Acts chapter 4, verse 13. And imitators of Christ is our subject for our meditation this afternoon. Verse 13 reads, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus." What we see in this text, brethren, is the amazing and powerful divine work of grace in the heart of a man. And within a short time, that same Peter, who not too long ago followed his master, the Lord Jesus, afar off, ashamed of him, and with oaths and curses denied that he knew his Lord Jesus. And now you see him side by side with this loving apostle John, and both of them boldly declaring that there is salvation in no other name except that of the Lord Jesus. And they were preaching the resurrection of the dead through the sacrifice of their dying Savior. The scribes, the Pharisees, they would soon discover and notice the reason for their boldness. They rightly guess that it is not in their learning or in their talents, for they knew that neither Peter nor John had been educated or trained. They were trained, yes, as fishermen. Their education was the knowledge of the sea, of the fisherman's trade. They had nothing else in themselves. Their boldness could not therefore come forth or spring from the self-sufficiency of knowledge, but from the Spirit of the living God. That's where their boldness came from. Nor did they acquire their courage from other source. It was not conferred upon John and Peter by some dignitaries, and then and so they are authorized to speak. But these men, they were, as it says in the original text, unlearned and ignorant, who had no official capacity, men without rank or position. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and understood and perceived that they were unlearned and private individuals, they marveled. They came to a right conclusion as to the source of their power. And what is that power? They had been with the Lord Jesus Christ. Their conduct with the Prince of Light and Glory, the Lord Jesus, back up by the influence of the Holy Spirit, had made them bold for their master's cause. Oh, brethren, would it not be good? Would it not be good if this commendation could also be said of us, each one of us, the Christian, from the lips of unbelievers living around us? Would it not be good if they also say of us, they have been with Jesus? If we could live like Peter and John, if our lives were living epistle of God, known and read of all men, if, whenever, wherever we may be, unbelievers would take knowledge or take notice of us, that we have been with Jesus, it would be a blessed thing for this world and a blessing for us. It is concerning our Christian testimony, our lives as believers, that I'm going to speak to you. And as God gives me grace, I shall endeavor to stir up all our minds by way of remembrance and urge all of us so to do. To do what? To imitate the Lord Jesus, our heavenly pattern, that men may perceive, may understand that we are truly disciples of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. First then, I shall tell you what a Christian should be. Secondly, we will look at when a Christian should be so. Thirdly, why a Christian should be so. And if time permits, a fourth point, how a Christian can be so. We shall begin with what a Christian should be. A Christian should be a striking likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ, which means Christ likeness. You have read Lives of Christ, beautifully and eloquently written, and you have admired the talent of the person who writes so well. But the best life of Christ is his living biography, written out in the words and action of his people, each one of his children. If we were what we profess to be, if the Spirit of the Lord were in the hearts of all his redeemed people as we could desire, and if instead of having abundance of formal professors, we were all possessors of that vital grace, we would not only be what we ought to be, but what we should be. We should be what? We should be pictures or portraits of Christ. Yes, such striking likeness of Christ that the world would not have the slightest doubt, or at least would not hesitate to say, they have been with Jesus. He or she has been taught of by the Lord Jesus. He or she is Christ-like, and Christ is revealed in his or her very life and everyday action. Can this be said of us, brethren? In enlarging upon this point, it would be necessary to premise that when we say he or she should be Christ-like as believers, we refer to the people of God. We refer to God's people. We refer to the Christian believers. We do not speak to them in any legal way. We are not under the law, but under grace. Christian men and women hold themselves bound to keep all of God's precepts. But the reason why, and this is crucial, why? It is not because the law is binding upon them, but because the gospel constrained them. The gospel constrained them to be Christ-like. They believe that having been redeemed by the blood of Christ, having been purchased by Jesus Christ, they are more than bound to keep God's law, God's command, than they would have been if they were under the law. They hold themselves to be debtors to God. Then they could have been under the Mosaic dispensation. So it is not of force, not of compulsion, not through the whip, nor through legal bondage, but through pure, sincere love and gratitude to God, they consecrated themselves out for his holy worship and service. This much I have said, lest anyone should think that I am preaching works as the way to salvation. I in no way is preaching salvation by works. But we are saying here, as the scripture shows us, Christ likeness is for the believers. We are speaking to the Christian believers to be imitators of Christ. I will ever maintain that by grace we are saved and not by ourselves. But equally must I tell you and testify that where the grace of God is, it will produce spiritual fruit of righteousness in the life of a believer. Again, I must highlight that when we say that a believer should be a striking likeness of Christ, it does not signify that any one Christian will perfectly exhibit all the virtues of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. All his characters we will be able to exhibit. Yet the fact that perfection is beyond our reach or not attainable should not diminish the zeal of our desire after Christ-likeness. The artist, whoever he or she may be, the artist, when he paints it, knows it well, that he shall not be able to excel like Michelangelo or any other great master artist. But that does not discourage him. He uses his brush with all the greater efforts that he may at least in some humble measure resemble the great master artist. So it is for the Christian believer. Though we feel we can never attain to that perfect holiness, the height of complete excellence, and recognizes that we can never on earth become the exact image of Christ, yet, and still, we hold it up before him and measure our own deficiency by the distance between ourselves and the Lord Jesus Christ. This a believer will do. Forgetting all he has attained, the believer will press forward, endeavoring to be conformed more and more to the image of Jesus Christ, his or her Savior. And this leads us to ask, in what way should a Christian be like Christ? Well, there are many ways, but time does not permit me to go into every aspect of it. But first, we want to note here. To be Christ-like, firstly, is in his boldness, as the word, the text shows. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, the Lord Jesus and his disciples, they were noted for their courage. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, these people, the unbelievers, the Pharisees and the scribes, they took knowledge of them, that they have been with Jesus. Jesus Christ, our Lord, never participated in any flattery in order to gain favor. He stood not to the great and noble. He stood upright, a man before men, the prophets of the people, speaking out boldly and freely the truth of his gospel. Christ fearlessly declares the judgment of God and urges sinners to repentance before it is too late. My brethren, to be bold for your master, the Lord Jesus, proclaim the message of redemption without fear and favor of men. Be steadfast and unmovable for the cause of Christ. Your love to Christ, your Savior, will never dishonor you. It may bring some temporary animosity or displeasure from your friends or slanders from your enemies. But live on, strive on, go on. You shall lay down their insults or false accusations. Live on and you shall stand among the glorified, honored, even by your enemies on the day of glory. Be like Jesus, very valiant for your God, so that when they see your boldness, they may say he or she has been with Jesus. Next, boldness alone will never make you like Christ. We must amalgamate with our boldness what? The loveliness of Jesus' disposition. Let courage be the brass. Let love be the gold. Let us mix the two together. Let your love and courage be mingled together. The man who is bold may indeed, we acknowledge that, the man who is bold may accomplish wonders, but much more can be done to glorify God by a little love. So, brethren, while we are to be bold, let us ever imitate the loving Jesus. The little child comes to the Lord Jesus, and Christ takes the child on his knees, saying, "Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not." A widow who has just lost her only son, Jesus wept at the veil. Luke 7:13-14. And with a word, from Christ restore life to the dead man. Jesus sees a paralytic, a leper, or a man long confined to his bed. He speaks, they rise and are healed. He lived for others, not for himself. His constant work were without any motive except for the good of those who live in the world. And to top it all, the mighty sacrifice Christ made when he condescended to lay down his life for men, when on the tree, quivering with agony and hanging there in utmost extremity of suffering and humiliation, Christ submitted to die for our sakes, that we might be saved. Oh, dear brethren, look at our Lord Jesus. Love consolidated. He was one mighty pillar of benevolence. As God is love, so Christ is love. So, dear Christian, may you be loving also in your one personal way. Speak kind words. Do kind action. Live out Christ again in the kindness of your life. If there is one virtue which most commends Christian, it is that of kindness. It is to love the people of God, love the church, love the word of God, to love all and to love even our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us and despitefully use us and by the help of the Holy Spirit, overcome evil with good. Matthew 5:44, Luke 6:28. Let every Christian imitate Christ in your loving spirit. Speak kindly, act kindly, do kindly, that man may say of you, he has been with Jesus. And then another excellent virtue or character in the life of Christ was his deep and sincere humility in which we must imitate him. While we will not bow or cringe, we walk through this world equal to all, inferior to none. Yet, as Christian believers, we would endeavor to be like Christ, continually humble. If you are a Christian, I urge you to take a look at your master, talking to the children, bending from the majesty of his divinity to speak to sinners, undeserving sinners on earth. And then in deep condescension, unparalleled, washing his disciples' feet and wiping them with a towel after supper. Dear brethren, this is your master. This is your Jesus whom you profess to worship. This is your Lord, your God, whom you adore. Oh, how we ought to forget caste, status, degree, rank when we come into Christ's church. Recollect, Christians, who your master was. He was a man of the poor and lowly. He lived among them. He ate with them. And were you, who bears the name of Christ, walk with your lofty heads and stiff neck, looking in with insufferable contempt upon the lowly and the outcast? Will you do that as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ when your master condescended to sinners? How small you appear in the sight of God. Christ was humbled. He stood to do anything which might serve others. He had no pride. He was a humble man, a friend of the publicans and sinners, living and walking with them. So Christians, be like your Jesus, one who can stoop. Yes, be one who thinks it's not stooping, but rather esteem others. As Paul teaches us, esteeming others better than yourself. Count it your honor, brethren, to sit with the poorest of Christ's people and says, if my name may but written in the obscurest part of the book of life, it is enough for me. So unworthy am I of his notice. So be like Christ in his humanity. I want to tell you a story between an account between George Whitefield, who was a Calvinist. George Whitefield, who was a Calvinist, was asked whether he could see John Wesley, who was an Arminian, in heaven. To this question, Whitefield replied, "Yes, you are right. I won't see him in heaven. He will be so close to the throne of God, and I will be so far away that I would not be able to see him." Oh, dear friends and brethren, what humility, isn't it? Beloved brethren, as I continue to speak to you of the various characteristics or the virtue of our Lord Jesus, and you as well as I know there is so much more, and time does not permit me to do so, where we can learn to imitate Christ. There is insufficient time for me to cover the entirety of Christ's likeness. Therefore, let me say one more. Imitate Christ in his holiness. Was Jesus zealous for his heavenly Father? So be you. Jesus, while in his earthly ministry, ever go about doing good. Brethren, let us. Let not time be wasted. It is too precious. Was Jesus self-denying, never looking to his own interests? So be you. Was he devout? So be you fervent in your prayers. Was Christ submissive to his Father's will? So submit yourself to him. Was Christ patient? So learn to endure. And best of all, as the highest portrait of Christ's likeness, let us, brethren, who are in Christ, who are God's people, endeavor to forgive your enemies as Jesus did, and pray like your Master, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." When you are prompted, brethren, to revenge, when hot anger stirs up and starts within you, remind yourself that anger is temporary insanity. Forgive as you hope to be forgiven. Heap coals of fire on the head of your enemies by your kindness to him or her. Return evil with good and bring oneself back to the state of composure. Bringing yourself back to a state of composure, dear friends, dear brethren, is godlike. Be godlike then, and in all your ways, and by all means, so live that your enemies may say, he or she has been with Jesus. Secondly, we want to look at, when should Christians be Christ-like? When should Christians be Christ-like? There is this idea in the world that's going on, and even and among Christians, that Christians ought to be very religious and pious on Sunday, but that it does not matter what they are on Monday. How many churchgoers are there who come to the house of God in a solemn mood, who join in the hymns and profess to pray, yet their hearts and minds are outside of the house of God? When should a Christian then be like Jesus? Is there a time when he or she may put off the garment of righteousness and holiness? Or like a soldier, put off his armor and become like other men? Oh, no! At all times and in every place, let the Christian be what he or she professes to be. Christian believers, let me say, be Christ-like at all times. Imitate Christ in the public. Most of us are in the public eye in one way or another. Some of us are called to work before our fellow men every day. We are watched. Our words are caught. Our lives are examined, taken to pieces. The world observes everything we do and say. and sharp critics are upon us. Let us live the life of Christ in public. Let us take care that we exhibit our master and not ourselves, so that we can say, it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Take heed to yourselves, brethren, that you carry this also into the church and not just into the in public. You who are church members, be like Christ in the church. Carry out the spirit of Christ in the church wherever you are. Let your fellow Christian say of you, he or she has been with Jesus. But most of all, take care to have Christ-likeness in your homes. A Christian home is the best proof of true Christianity, true Christian piety. It is not in the chapel. It is in my home. It is not my minister. It is in my home companion who can best judge me. It is the child, my children. It is the wife, my wife, the friend, the neighbor that can discern most of my real character. A good man may improve his household. This person by the name of Roland Hill once said he would not believe a man to be a true Christian if his wife, his children, his neighbors, and even the dog and the cat were not the better for it. That is being religious. If your household is not the better for your Christianity, brethren, if man cannot say, this is a better home than others, then do not deceive yourself. You have nothing of the grace of God. Let no one say of your family, oh, this is a strange and odd Christian family. There was no prayer in the morning, no prayer in the night. There was no family worship. There was no reading of Bible. Sure, they go to church on the Sunday, but for the rest of the day, of the Sabbath day, and the rest of the week, there is no sign of Christ-likeness. Oh, brethren, carry out your godliness in your home, in your family. Let everyone say that you have practical religion in your family. Let it be known and read in the home as well as in the world. Take care of your character there, in your home, in your family. For what you are there, you really are. Our public life is often but a borrowed part, the actor's part of a movie. But at home, the acting is removed, and men are what they seem. Therefore, take care of your home duties and responsibilities to be Christ-like. Thirdly, why should Christian imitate Christ? Why should it be? Time is running out. I just want to very quickly move on to this point. Why should Christian imitate Christ? The answer comes very naturally and easily. Christian should be like Christ, first of all, for their own sake, for their honesty's sake, and for their credibility's sake. Let them not be found liars before God and man. For their own state of spiritual health, if they, as believers, wish to be kept from sin and preserved from going astray from the Lord, then be imitators of Christ. This is the reason why you should imitate Christ. For their own happiness, they would enjoy holy and happy communion with Christ their Savior if they would be lifted up above the cares and troubles of this world. Let them imitate Jesus Christ. Oh, brethren, there is nothing that can so benefit you, so bless you, nothing can so prosper you or assist you, so keep your head and your heart upward, but the imitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That will keep you going. That will keep you running the race. It is when by the power of the Holy Spirit you are enabled to walk with the Lord Jesus in his every footstep, you are most happy, most blessed, and you are most known to be the Son of God. So for your own sake, brethren, I say, be like Christ. Then, to put it in a strongest form, let me say, why should Christian imitate Christ? For Jesus' sake. Endeavor to be Christ-like for Jesus' sake. Brethren, look at those hands of your Savior, the Lord Jesus, that were pierced for you. Look at the sight of his body. It was open as the fountain of your salvation. See his feet. There entered the cruel nails onto his feet. His eyes gushed with tears. His head was crowned with thorns. His cheek was smitten. He was humiliated. His hair was plucked. His body became the center and focus of agony. Hanging on the cross, the Lord Jesus quivered in the burning sun. He does it all. He went through this all for you, his chosen people. And will you not love him now? Will you not love the Lord Jesus and strive to be Christ-like after all that he has done for you? Will you not, as God's blood-bought children, be imitators of Christ for his glory? Jesus say, I close, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love the Lord Jesus, then be like Christ. Since gratitude demands obedience, so shall the world know that you have been with the Lord Jesus. I want to cover one last point, since I have still about 2 minutes, and that is, how can I imitate Christ? How can I imitate Christ? In the first place, my dear friends, in answer to your question, let me say this to you. Know Christ as your Savior, as your Redeemer, before you can follow him as your exemplar. Much is said about the example of the Lord Jesus. He is the best example. And it is impossible for us to imitate Christ if, in the first place, you do not know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. So therefore, in humility, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ first. Seek for his forgiveness and cleansing. Then and only then will you be able, by the help and the enabling of your Holy Spirit, to be an imitator of Christ. Look at him. There is a wondrous power about the character of Christ. For the more you look at him, the more you will be conformed to him. So therefore, may I urge you, may I beseech you, dear friend, that first of all, be very certain that truly you are a child of God, that you are truly a born-again believer. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Therefore, if you are like Christ, you are of Christ and shall be with Christ. If you are unlike him, you have no portion in the great inheritance. May your poor discourse help to fan and stir you up, that will lead you to seek to be first of all partakers of the inheritance of Christ in the light. Then, only then, will you be able to be imitators for Christ, to bring glory and honor to him. Let us pray. Gracious, mighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this very simple lesson. Yet, Heavenly Father, we confess that how far we have fallen short in our Christian testimony. We brought more shame and dishonor to thy holy name than to magnify and glorify thy name. How quickly and how easily we fall into sin and shame and dishonor the name of Christ. How often we forget that we bear forth the name of Christ. We carry the name of Christ with us wherever we are. O Heavenly Father, forgive us for our falling short of thy glory, for our shaming your name. Lord, may thy cleansing blood cover each one of our children, sanctify us anew, and help us, Lord, in this new week, as you have so graciously given us, lended us breath, given us life and health, to begin a new week, this beginning with this Lord's Day. Oh Lord, go before us, go with us in this new week, and help us, grant us much grace, the empowering of the Holy Spirit to be imitators of Christ, to be Christ-like, that we may manifest forth the characteristics and the virtue of Christ, that we may do so for thy glory, so that those outside of your kingdom, our unbelieving friends or neighbors or colleagues or classmates, others who do not know thee, may indeed say, he has been or she has been with the Lord Jesus. O Father, we pray for thy help. We ask that you will indeed grant us much grace and the enabling and empowering of the Holy Spirit, that we may live our lives that will glorify thy holy name in this new week. So help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.